Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
I am sure that every one of us here has prayed to God and knows something about this problem of unanswered prayer. Our subject is unanswered prayer. We pray, and we pray diligently, and we pray with faith, and yet it seems that God does not answer our prayers.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. When life is going well, it's easy to take things for granted and to turn our attention away from God. But when times are tough and our prayers aren't answered, we're quick to ask the question, where is God? Well, today we're considering what we should do when our prayers go unanswered. So here's Pastor John Monroe, continuing our series called With Wings Like Eagles.
How often have you prayed and God sometimes seemed not to answer your prayers? I don't like waiting. When I ask for something, I like to receive it quickly. But in our Christian life, the reality is that God is sovereign and not us. And God is often working in our lives in ways which we don't understand. His ways are not our ways. And often His timing is not our timing. This problem is particularly poignant when we're going through a crisis. We want out of the crisis. We want God to answer our prayers. In our series With Wings Like Eagles, we continue today with the subject of unanswered prayer. When our answers to prayer don't seem to be heard, be encouraged. Continue to trust God. He's still at work in your life. We're going to understand two things about unanswered prayer today. Here's the first one. The answer to our prayers may be delayed to teach us that with God, nothing is impossible. Now, you think that sounds strange, but bear with me. The answer to our prayers, to your prayers, may be delayed to teach you that with God, nothing is impossible. We pray for a new job. We pray for healing. We pray for the salvation of a friend. And the answer doesn't seem to come. And when God finally answers our prayers in these very difficult circumstances, isn't it the case that our faith is strengthened as we wait on God? Isn't it a marvelous thing to know that God has acted and God has done something that we by ourselves could never, ever do? And there's many people here who could testify of situations in their life when they have prayed and prayed. And it seemed really hopeless. And then God answered our prayer. Here's the second one. So the answer to our prayer may be delayed to teach us that with God nothing is impossible. Secondly, the answer to our prayers may be denied to draw us closer to God and to make us more effective in His service. The answer can be delayed, but sometimes, this is even harder, the answer to our prayers may be denied to draw us closer to God and make us more effective in His service. Turn to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses. I must go on boasting, says Paul. Though there's nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, notice verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Paul prays for the removal of the thorn three times. We don't know what the thorn was, but in all probability, I think it was some physical disability causing Paul frustration and irritation. And Paul thought, very understandably, that if this messenger of Satan, this thorn in his flesh, if it were removed, he would be able to serve God with more devotion, more enthusiastically, with the less distraction of this thorn. So he prayed for its removal. You ever had that kind of prayer? Many of you have unremoved thorns in your lives, don't you? Like Paul, it might be a physical condition which is debilitating, frustrating, embarrassing. Perhaps it's a difficult employment situation. You work in an office where your boss is unreasonable and impossible to please. Perhaps it's a problem in your family, a problem child who's rebellious, who's defiant, who's almost unmanageable. Perhaps the problem is that you have no children. You're like Sarah and Abraham, and you've prayed long and fervently for a child, but no child has come. Perhaps the thorn in your flesh is betrayal by a member of your family or a friend. Someone in your family, some relationship has turned against you and maligned you. Perhaps some personal crisis has come into your life. It could be a thousand and one things, but this thorn causes you pain. It causes you distress. It's a real thorn. When you think about it, it almost causes a physical pain in your stomach. You pray and you pray, and no, there's no relief in sight. This is a continuing open sore, as it were. It's a huge problem in your life. So you earnestly, fervently, with faith, are praying for the removal of the thorn, and you pray that life would be so much more enjoyable. There would be so less distractions that you could really serve the Lord and do the will of God. Much better, you think, but up till now, the thorn is unremoved. I want to say to you from the authority of Scripture, as we read Paul's account, an unremoved thorn is not an answered prayer. The Lord heard Paul's prayer. You pray, whatever you may think, the Lord hears your prayer. The Lord is kind. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Three times, Paul entreats the Lord that this thorn might depart from him. Look at verse 9 again. Here's the answer. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Lord's answer was not less thorn, but more grace and more power. Did you get that? The Lord's answer was not less thorn, but more power and more grace. And the Lord tells Paul that the thorn is not going to be removed, but he's going to experience more grace and more strength. God's grace is going to be sufficient for you, Paul. Paul, you already know God's power, but God's power is going to be perfected in and through your weakness. That the demonstration of the power of God is going to be, Paul, not because you're great, not because you're gifted, but in fact, because of your weakness. Paul says, I could become rather conceited. See, apart from God's grace, when the prayer is not answered, apart from drawing on that grace and that strength that I'm asking you to draw on, you would become bitter. You'd become discouraged. You'd become very, very weak. Remember, God is a God of grace. God's grace is throughout Scripture. Time and time again, we read, grace and peace to you. And Christ himself is the grace. Notice verse 9, my grace. It's not just grace. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is grace, and he is sufficient for you. Yes, in your weakness. And God's power is perfected is seen against not a background of strength, but against your background of weakness. See, through the thorn experiences in our life, none of us want them. They're difficult, they're hard, they're painful, they're irritants. But isn't it the case? They draw us closer to Christ. Therefore, what seems to be a problem, that thorn, what seems to be the worst problem in your life, a thorn, may in fact turn out to be the source of a great blessing. C.S. Lewis calls it a severe mercy. You have a situation in your life which is very severe. It's very, very tough. It's very difficult. And you would love for the Lord to remove it. But, says C.S. Lewis, that situation, which is on one hand very severe, is in fact a demonstration of the mercy of God. So that that situation, that tough situation, that thorny situation, is in fact a blessing that God has allowed in your life so that you will boast about your weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The end of verse 9. Did you notice that? The power of Christ may rest upon me. The end of verse 10. For when I'm weak, here's a paradox of the Christian life. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Through the experience of the thorn, through the experience of the weakness, you will know God in a deeper way, in a more intimate way, as He provides His grace and His strength. None of us would ask for a thorn, would we? Why would we do that? Why would we want something painful, embarrassing, difficult in our life? But God, in His sovereign purposes, allows them, doesn't He? So that our dependency and our sufficiency are not on ourselves, but on Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. And Paul is making the point that the thorn in our lives keeps us humble and makes us more effective in the service of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't think of Paul as a proud man, but he had this amazing experience of being caught up into the third heaven, into paradise itself. And so he could have boasted about that. And so God allows this messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh. You say, oh, I would be humble without the thorn. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. God knows. These thorns keep us humble, don't they? That's what Paul is saying in verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Are you more humble than Paul? Daniel 4 verse 37 says that God is able to humble those who walk in pride. And humility is of the very essence of the Christian faith, that our Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest man who ever walked this earth, but was the humblest. And God has His ways, hasn't He, to allow situations and experiences in our life to keep us from being proud, from being arrogant, from exalting ourselves. Have you become a bit proud? A bit self-important? You begin to think life is all about you. In fact, God has blessed you. But you come a bit arrogant. Remember on Palm Sunday, the crowd shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. But the donkey was smart enough to know that the shouts was not for the donkey, but for the man on the donkey. But sometimes we think we're the center of the universe. Sometimes we think we're the smartest person in the room. We are gifted. Yes, and God has given you wonderful gifts, wonderful abilities, wonderful talents. And God in His grace is using many of you mightily as a source of blessing to many. However, these very blessings, as was the case in Paul's, these very blessings from God may be the source of pride and arrogance on your part. So God in His grace may bring a thorn into our lives to keep us from exalting ourselves. And that thorn makes us more effective in Christ's service to serve the living and the true God. Have you noticed that God's power is perfected in weakness? The very opposite from the world. Who wants to be the top dog? Who wants to be number one? Jesus said, no, the one who's at the bottom, the one who serves everyone, he's the greatest, she's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul says earlier in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure that is the gospel in earthen vessels. He describes himself as a clay pot. Yes, broken and scarred, sometimes with doubts, sometimes inconsistent in our faith, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be in God and not in ourselves. And when we realize that truth, through the hurt of the thorn, we realize that God is with us as we serve him and realize, yes, it is in fact a severe mercy. So the answer to our prayer may be delayed to teach us that with God nothing is impossible. The answer to our prayer may be denied to draw us closer to God and make us more effective in his service, to keep us humble and to make sure that our dependence is not on ourselves, not on our gifts, not on our abilities, not in our resources, but on God himself. And often in life, we just don't know why God has chosen not to answer the prayers, but they keep us, these situations keep us on our knees, don't they? They keep us humble and they keep us looking to God and to God alone. Because when things go well in our lives, we tend to become a bit cocky. We tend to take God for granted. We tend to become self-sufficient. We tend to behave like spoiled children. God wants us to grow in maturity, to continue to live by faith, so that God is our strength and God is our help, our present refuge in our time of trouble. Gamaliel, the great rabbi, said, make his will, God's will, your will, in order that he may make your will his will. Not my will, but yours be done. That was the prayer of Jesus, wasn't it? Not my will be done, but your will. That's prayer at a high level, isn't it? That's prayer at a mature level. He asked for strength so that he might achieve. He was made weak that he might obey. He asked for help that he might do greater things. He was given infirmities that he might do better things. He asked for riches that he might be happy. He was given poverty that he might be wise. He asked for power that he might have the praise of men. He was given weakness that he might feel the need of God. He asked for all things that he might enjoy life. He was given life that he might enjoy all things. He has received nothing that he asked for, all that he hoped for. His prayer is answered. Now, as I conclude, I have to remind you that there is one prayer that God always answers. You say, John, what's that prayer? It's the prayer of the tax gatherer. In Luke chapter 18, as Jesus told the story of two men who prayed. One was very arrogant, one was very full of himself. One wanted to remind God everything that he'd done and had not done, as if God didn't know. One was very full of himself, the Pharisee. The other was the tax gatherer. He's a bit of a rascal. I'm sure he had defrauded people. But he finds himself in the temple, and rather than reminding God of his greatness, he can hardly look up. And his prayer is a very simple one. And it's a prayer that all of us need to pray if we're going to get to heaven, if we're going to be saved by the grace of God. His prayer was short, it was to the point. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you prayed that prayer, you know, if you pray that prayer, God is going to hear it. Because Jesus said that man went down from the temple to his house, justified, declared righteous before a holy God. You say, what are you saying, John? I'm saying that you must acknowledge that you're a sinner and that salvation is not on what you do and not on your achievements, not through some religious ritual, but it is purely by the grace of God and the mercy of God. What is the foundation of that grace, the cross of Christ? This is our only way of salvation, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you look to Christ, if you pray this wonderful prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and acknowledge that Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. And if you cry out to Christ, he'll come and he'll save you, forgive your sins, give you new life, a new purpose for living, that you now become part of the family of God. And so I understand that all of us have prayers that are not answered, and there's great dilemmas and delays and denials. I understand that, but I plead with you to make sure before you leave that you've prayed this prayer: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And for those of us who are following the Savior today and you're struggling with an answered prayer, I say this: have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they, are you listening? They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And if you've never prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, will you cry out to Christ to cleanse you and to save you? And as you're struggling with these answered prayers, wait for the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Father, we do cry out to you, all of us. Some for salvation, some have never come to the cross, never known Christ as their Savior. I pray for them. Open their eyes. Help them to see Jesus. Help them to see their sin. Bring them to the cross. For those who are burdened, for those who are dealing with unanswered prayers and thorns in the flesh, bring healing, bring power. Pour your grace and your strength on them, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today's message is titled Unanswered Prayer, and it's part of our ongoing series called With Wings Like Eagles. We live in challenging days, and our goal in this series is to learn how we can experience the promise of God to be renewed in strength and overcome our challenges with wings like eagles. To help, John has written a booklet called Trusting God in Tough Times. He shares biblical guidance on how to overcome difficult issues, whether it's family tensions, anger, grief, or dealing with anxiety and fear. Be encouraged by biblical truth that God can be trusted. To request your free copy of Trusting God in Tough Times, visit theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our monthly email list to get the latest ministry updates from John. And if these lessons and resources have helped you, would you consider helping other listeners by supporting this gospel outreach with a donation of any amount? By helping us cover the cost to produce and distribute these biblical messages, you'll be playing an important part in sharing the gospel with new listeners across the globe. You can easily send your one-time donation of any amount when you go to theverdict.org. And before we close, remember to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast and check out John's new weekly podcast called Avizandum, where he shares his personal thoughts on important topics like the mark of the beast and the epidemic of anxiety. Subscribe today to The Verdict Podcast. And now here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you learning that sometimes the reason why your prayers are delayed is that God wants to demonstrate that he is God and that he can do all things? Have you found that the greatest problems in your life have been used in the purposes of God for your greatest blessings? So keep waiting on the Lord. Keep being renewed in strength. Keep mounting up with wings like eagles. Next time, we will deal with the very common problem of worry and anxiety. I know you'll want to listen.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.